Well, good morning and welcome back to the Jonah series. In case you've missed a few of our weeks, we've been diving into the story of Jonah and looking at God in control and looking at what it means to obey his call and a lot of different things regarding this story. And we're finding that it's way more than just a fish story. By all means, it's way more than that. Last week, we talked about trusting God with every element of our lives and asking Him to run our show, to run everything that is in our life. Now, this week, we will hear a much different tune from Jonah. Because before, he'd been running and he said, no, I'm not going to do what the Lord has called me to do. I'm just going to take off and do my own way. Now, we get a different tune from Jonah. Jonah, our main character in the account, has been running, and now we see he has had a change of heart. But before we get much further, we need to talk a little bit about history. Now, it's not history in the subject that you might have studied in school, or maybe you even majored in history. Blessings to you if you did that. But this history is more personal. This history is much closer to heart. Each of us have a history. Each of us have a personal history, and it's a history that we keep very close to us, very close to the vest. And if it ever gets out, this personal history, oh my goodness, do we feel violated. The emotions roll in us when our personal history gets put out on display, if it ever happens. Case in point happened a couple weeks ago. An NFL player was at a 4th of July outing event and had an accident with fireworks. And the story goes that the player had this accident, went to the hospital, and we weren't getting many details. We just knew that he was in the hospital and things weren't going well. The team didn't know what had happened, really. They just knew he wasn't in great shape. And so it was kind of masked in this kind of vague. We got some vague details. We knew he was in the hospital. He wasn't doing well. But never fear. A TV network reporter that the network starts with E and ends with SPN. Their reporter came out and sure enough had received by some way his medical records. And not only his medical records, but also the surgery schedule that was happening that day. And it wasn't just enough to receive the medical record. He decided that he needed to post a picture of said medical record. We actually have it right here. Cat's out of the bag. I'm sorry. ESPN had obtained this, and then he decided to tweet it out. Okay, you can take that off. Because when we see that medical record, when we see that surgery schedule, that he had lost his index finger and that he was now going to need surgery, and that this was the first that the team had heard of it. So no one else knew this. And inside we go, whoa, 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 wait, that's way too much information. My personal bubble, his personal bubble, has been violated. That should be very private. That should be held close to the vest. And this idea of privacy and a private history goes way beyond our medical record. It goes into our faith history. It goes into our heart history. That occasionally we keep a lot of things close to the vest because we don't want the mess of our lives to come out. We don't want the heart surgery schedule of our life to come out. But this morning, in Jonah, he gives us a very, very deep look into his personal history, into his heart history. So let's take a look at it here. Jonah chapter 2, if you've got your Bibles, around page 700 in the blue ones in the front of your seats. Otherwise, it'll be on the screen. Jonah's crying out to God. This is Jonah's prayer. And here we see this. Chapter 2. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from inside the fish. He said, I cried out to the Lord in my great trouble, and he answered me. I called to you from the land of the dead, and Lord, you heard me. You threw me into the ocean depths, and I sank down to the heart of the sea. The mighty waters engulfed me. I was buried beneath your wild and stormy waves. Then I said, O Lord, you have driven me from your presence. Yet I will look once more toward your holy temple. I sank beneath the waves, and the waters enclosed over me. Seaweed wrapped itself around my head. I sank down to the very roots of the mountains. I was imprisoned in the earth, whose gates lock shut forever. But you, O Lord, my God, snatched me from the jaws of death. As my life was slipping away, I remembered the Lord, and my earnest prayer went out to you in your holy temple. Those who worship false gods turn their backs on all God's mercies. But I will offer sacrifices to you with songs of praise, and I will fulfill all my vows. For my salvation comes from the Lord alone. So let's take a moment here and unpack what Jonah is really saying, what Jonah is getting at this morning. And we see here that Jonah's reality should be cause for dismay. That Jonah's reality should be cause for dismay. Everything around him that he has described here sounds awful. All the way to the seaweed wrapped around your head. That sounds awful. I would not want to be there. His reality should be cause for dismay. Okay, it should be cause for panic. It should be an absolute awful situation. And we see even one step further that everything around him points to death. He even says it. Verse 2, I called to you from the land of the dead. Everything around him points to death. And if we take his words in context and think back to the ship breaking apart and Jonah running to the travel agency and then running to the boat and now the sailors throwing him overboard, his last few hours have been an absolute mess. And everything has been that he has been a part of has pointed to death. And as a side note, many modern scholars feel that this prayer, as we see it, is now from him after he's been spit out of the fish. So he's seeing this from a different perspective, that he's seeing that this is, he's giving this prayer after he's been spit out, and now he's seeing, okay, Lord, this is how you've delivered me, this is what I'm going to do, and everything around me did point to death. And we also see in this prayer that there is no end in sight for his death and destruction. There's absolutely no end in sight for his dismay, for this trouble. Watch how Jonah piles on in describing what he's going through and how he's feeling. Listen to these phrases. I sank down to the heart of the sea. Mighty waters engulfed me. I was buried in the wild and stormy waves. The waters closed over me. The seaweed was wrapped around my head. I sank down to the very roots of the mountains, if you can think how deep that is. He is like in the depths of the depths. I was imprisoned in the earth, whose gates locked shut forever. This is a very depressing place with no end in sight. We're getting a very deep personal history here with Jonah. He's letting us see his mess. He's letting us see his reality. He's letting everybody in on where he's at. Now we need to pause here and ask, how many of us have felt this overwhelmed in life, in your day-to-day struggle with family, with your job, with friends? Maybe it's something you can't even control. How many of us have felt this overwhelmed with the storms of life? That we feel like the chaos of our situation is going to take us over. That the seaweed is not only wrapped around our head, it's wrapped around our neck and choking the life out of us. It's not a fun place to be. It's not a fun place at all when you are this overwhelmed. And it leads us to this thought that Jonah had in verse 4, and maybe we've had the same thought from time to time. This thought is that his current experience says, you deserve this. That his current experience says, you deserve this. In verse 4, he said, O Lord, you have driven me from your presence. That I deserve this. Now what we need to be mindful of is what God is doing here again is trying to get the attention of his prophet. maybe it's not so much punishment more as it's trying to show Jonah that God has power and God has a plan and God is smart enough and God will do this with you if you're willing to jump in with him. But Jonah's surroundings don't point to that. Jonah's surroundings point to death. And from Jonah's perspective, from Jonah's eyes, this was punishment. This was God being the evil dictator. This was God showing his wrath. And this was exactly what Jonah felt like he deserved. I think we feel the same way at times because of our mess, because of the way we screw up, because we're so many goofballs around us. We feel like we deserve the punishment. We deserve the pain that we have sometimes. But Jonah's story has changed here. He talks about the depths. He talks about the death and the destruction that surrounds him. But he doesn't let it define him. You see, this is where experience and faith part ways. Because for Jonah, God is much more than his current situation. God is much more powerful than the issues that Jonah is facing, even as the seaweed is wrapped around his head. I love that thought. Can you just imagine that for a second? I eat that in sushi, but I can't imagine that wrapped around my head. Okay, this is how awful this is. But Jonah's experience points to death. His reality is crying out to him, saying, "You got to give this up. You deserve this. You deserve this hard." But as we see in the second half of our prayer this morning, that Jonah's faith outweighs his experience. That Jonah's faith outweighs his experience. Jonah's brain starts kicking in here for a second. Jonah snaps into the knowledge of God that he has, and he starts to see the bigger picture. And we go, "Yes, this is great." And I think it gives us a point of excitement because for many of us, we realize that there's still hope for us, especially us guys. There's hope for us that our brains kick in at some point, and we go, "Yeah, we can get it too. Jonah's did, and he was in the belly of a fish with seaweed wrapped around his head. We can get it too." And the light bulb comes on for Jonah. That's an exciting time. It's an exciting moment. And when the light bulb comes on, Jonah remembers two important aspects of God, and then he makes a vow. So when that light bulb comes on for Jonah, he remembers that God redeems. He knows God redeems. One of my favorite verses in this whole account is from chapter 2, verse 6, the second half of it. I love this. We even heard it in our video this morning. "But you, O Lord my God, snatched me from the jaws of death." That even that everything surrounding me points to death and destruction, God snatched me out of it. Now that's nothing that points to Jonah's reality, but that's everything that points to it. He knows what's in his head and in his heart. He knows that God redeems. He absolutely knows it. Now this may be his last moment. The fish may just decide, "Oh, I'm going to swallow him," but he doesn't. Jonah knows that God redeems. This is a moment of redemption. This is a huge moment, a comeback moment, if you will, for Jonah. He says again, "O Lord my God, you snatched me from the jaws of death." And again we see, as we talked about last week, God controls every part of this story, including death. This is a precursor to what we're going to see in the New Testament, what we're going to celebrate next spring when we celebrate Christ going to the cross. We see him defeating even death, that God controls every single part of it, that Christ has come to defeat death, and God controls all of this. Jonah trusts in that. Even if it took a massive storm and a mighty fish to convince him. His second light bulb moment for Jonah in this prayer says he trusts God, that God will deliver him. But Jonah remembers that he trusts God that God will deliver him. Now, he wouldn't say these things if he didn't trust him. Let's look at this prayer again. Much like he was crawling out into the depths, much like he was saying the seaweeds wrapped around my head and I was in the pit of the mountain, listen to these words, also in this prayer. It says, Lord, I called out and you heard me. I will look to your holy temple once more. My earnest prayer went out. My salvation comes from the Lord alone. This is a man who trusts that God will deliver him. He has no doubt about it. And because he has this trust, Jonah makes the final statement in the prayer, verse 9. It says, I will offer sacrifices to you with songs of praise, and I will fulfill all my vows. So as Jonah has this light bulb moment, he remembers these two things about God, and then finally he makes a vow. Jonah promises to live out his faith. Now this is a huge different change of tune from a guy who was running, a guy that we know pretty well now, who is running from the Lord. And I look at this and go, oh boy, Jonah, do you know what you're asking? Do you know what you're saying? Do you know what you're jumping into? This sounds like a guy who's trying to start a diet and is cheated again and again and again. And he's going to say, okay, tomorrow, Lord, I'm going to start my diet. I'm going to jump in. I'm going to do this. Okay, I'm going to fulfill this vow. I'm going to live this out. And isn't that us with our faith sometimes? We say, yes, I'm going to jump back in. We have a mountaintop moment, or we have God just speak to us in a crazy way, or we have the light bulb come on, and we go, yes, I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to come to church every week, and I'm going to pray. And then all of a sudden, reality sets in. And all of a sudden, all of our great plans and everything we're excited about gets tainted by the history that lives in our hearts. The history that we know that we're going to fail at this. I've seen so many of our students excited coming back from camp. They're like, yes, I love Jesus, and I have this aha moment, and I love this mountaintop. It's so exciting. It's so great. I'm going to read my Bible every day. I'm going to pray every day before every meal and before bed, and I love this. It's so exciting. Woo! I love watching that. It's so cool to see when they get back from camp, and they're so excited for Christ and for faith. But then they get home. Reality sets in. Their past comes back. And that huge moment they had dwindles to a blip on the larger radar. Their history comes back to remind them of the way life was. And it's that history, our heart history, that lies to us. Because usually, at least for me, when I'm planning to tackle something big, say, for example, like going on a diet, or sharing my faith, or doing something really exciting like that, I try these and take these on again and again and again and again, and I say, you know what? I even have sheets, okay, for exercise and dieting. It's the commitment to excellence, and it has everything laid out there, and I'm going to do it, I'm going to exercise, and I'm going to be great, and it's going to be awesome. And then reality sets in. My history, my personal history reminds me that you're going to do this for a while, but it may fade away. You may work out for a while, but it may fade away. My history reminds me that I have failed again and again and again, and it screams at me that it's not worth the fight. That's the worst deception possible, that it's not worth the fight. That I should just give in and live life the way I was. That I should just give in and stop. Even though I know the change that I'm trying to make would be the better for me. Whether it's here at church, whether it's at home, whether it's at the gym, wherever it is. Our history, our past, our experiences can lie to us. Maybe experience tells you that the only time you can worship the living God is here at church. And you go home. And you're like, nah, maybe at church, but not here. Which means the rest of your week is left for false idols that fill our time. It's a hot mess. Maybe your past tells you that God isn't powerful enough to help your circumstance, to help your situation. Or maybe God isn't smart enough to see you through. Maybe that's what your past screams out. Maybe your history tells you that you can't trust church leaders or the church itself. Maybe that's what the past is screaming out to you. It tells you, your history tells you that God will let you down, or God isn't even there. That the storm around you and your circumstances all point toward this notion that God cares nothing about you. Sometimes that's what our experiences tell us. For Jonah, that's exactly what his experiences told him in the belly of the fish. That's a rough go. But my friends, this is exactly what Satan wants you to believe about your history. That it defines you. Satan wants you to be defined by your mess, by your chaos, by your history, by the time again and again history has said, God's going to give up on you, you can't trust the church, church isn't worth it, man, this Bible thing is fun for a while, but you can't trust it, you can't live up to that. Satan wants you to believe that lie. That's his great deception that he's got going on, and man, is he good at it. The greatest deception is that the only thing we can base our life on is the experiences that we have. That's the greatest deception he's got going on. The ones that lie to us. The experiences that pin us down. But that, my friends, is not true. Let that sink in this morning. That your experience sometimes is not pointing you to the bigger picture. That the lie that we believe is not true. Because the truth is, we have a God that is much bigger than our past. The truth is, we have a God that's much bigger than our personal history, is bigger than our heart history, bigger than any of that. And we can have a God that we put our trust in, a God that we can put our faith in. So the bigger question this morning is, what is your faith based on? What is your faith based on? Is it based on this history that lies to us, on the experiences where the mountaintop is great and then the depths are really low? What is it based on? Is it based on what our experiences tell us? Or is your faith based on what the Word tells us? I think for many of us, we would say our experiences. Because that's what we see. That's the reality around us. That's the only thing in front of us. But we know sometimes that lies to us. Sometimes that isn't telling the whole story, that we're seeing things through a mirror that is very cloudy. Do we put our trust, do we put our faith in the truth that God is the Redeemer, that God is the Deliverer, the Savior, that God will allow us again to view the majesty that He has for us? Now, if we remember to our story, for Jonah, all that surrounded him pointed to death. Darkness, destruction. His circumstance, his recent history, all that screams out that God has forgotten about me. I was swallowed by a fish, for goodness sakes. But instead of relying on his experience, Jonah relies on the truth that he knows, the truth that he has read, the truth that he has heard about. And if you've ever had this turnaround, maybe some of you have, you know exactly what it feels like to have this turnaround in your life. You know the emotion of getting out of the basement of life. You know what Jonah is saying and feeling in verse 6, where we've already talked about, but Lord, you have snatched me from the jaws of death. If you've been there, you had that experience, you know that feeling. But even that feeling is fleeting. We've got to trust in the Word. This turning point for Jonah, it's the moment where his experience, his reality around him, takes a back seat to the knowledge he has of God. And for Jonah, what the Word has told him is where his faith is based. It's this Word that tells the truth about us. It's the Word that tells us that there is a God who loves us deeply. It's the Word that tells us that God is smart enough to handle our issues. It's the Word that tells us that God cares about us and loves us so much that He gave His one and only Son to die for us on the cross and defeat death by raising, by coming up from the grave 3 days later. It's the word that tells us that there is a great deceiver in Satan who wants to trip us up every chance he gets and reminds us of the lie that we believe, that God doesn't care about us, that God doesn't love us. It's this word that also tells us of a redeemer, the one who is coming and who is going to come again, who has defeated death, who sits at the right hand of the Father. My friends, that's a faith I want to put my trust in. That's a word I want to put my trust in. Yeah, I'm putting my faith in the word, and I hope you do too. Because I know sometimes my experiences lie to me. That sometimes I don't see life clearly. But there is a God who delivers us out of this darkness. When we don't see the whole story, it's the God that delivered Jonah out of the depths of the sea. It's the same God who delivers us, who is worthy of our love, who is worthy of our trust, who is worthy of our praise. My friends, I hope you see it today. This is a God worth putting our faith in, because he delivers us from the darkness. He snatches us out of the jaws of death. And he says, this is where you put your trust. This is where you put your faith, not in the surroundings around you. Let us pray. Lord, we hear this word and we look at this prayer and we know that it's easy to let our surroundings define us. We know that it's easy to believe the lie. But Lord, we pray that you would give us strength, that you would give us a clear vision of who you are, a vision of what you have done for us. Lord, we know that you are powerful enough. We know that you are great enough, that you are mighty, that you are smart enough, and that you love us. Let us put our trust in that. Help us put our trust in the word that you have given us. And let us not be tempted by just living on experience alone. That we would put our faith in you. That we would see you for who you are. That we would rejoice in the fact that you have snatched us out of the jaws of death. That you've given us Christ. We can believe in that truth. We can believe in your word. Help us see that. Help us know that. Lord God, we thank you for this word this morning. We thank you for this prayer. We ask that your Holy Spirit would be with us. In Jesus' name, amen.